the concept of the leap, because it runs through the whole book.
Imagine a train, imagine a track. You know, we're on the track, roaring down. This is the, you know, basically modern society is this incredibly well-appointed train flying down the track at, you know, a rate of speed and a level of comfort and a you know, variety of entertainment and lifestyle choice and everything that no one has ever, you know, seen before. And it can seem like a pretty comfortable seat on that train. But if we're paying attention, you know, sort of, you know, outside, we're probably starting to notice the track starting to shake a little bit, and there's, you know, bigger and bigger bumps, and sometimes it feels like the whole thing's going to go right off the track. And then you look out, you know, because you're starting to get a little bit alarmed by the fact that things are starting to change quite a bit, and you can see a very, very deep chasm off to our side. And that really is, you know, the crisis we face. The chasm is the kind of combination of, you know, increasing energy scarcity and rising energy prices, the failure of a financial system built on the idea of limitless growth, which is basically a kind of extension of the idea of cheap energy, and then the climate crisis being caused by our choice of energy sources. And all of these things are basically telling us, you know, that the problem is not at the periphery or the edges. This is not a cyclical change. This is, we're on a fundamentally unsustainable track that is failing and heading increasingly toward a fall into that chasm. And what the leap is ultimately about is getting to the other side of that chasm, making that jump to the other side of the chasm where there is another train, a better track, and a much sort of better route to the future. And I use the phrase the Great Leap sideways, because it's not ultimately some, you know, brave new world future of technology we can't imagine. The tools are all sort of already with us. And it's not also, you know, going back to some, you know, pre-industrial hunter-gatherer hair shirt kind of world. It's really just very, you know, when you go to the places that have made this jump, and that's what the sort of core of the book is about, it's all recognizably what it always was, only better, really. I mean, that's the sort of takeaway, is that there's a lot greater opportunity.
It was a much more positive book than I expected. I think more positive even than your last one, is that?
It's more confident. So, whereas The Geography of Hope still had about it a sense of, can we even do this? Is it, you know, is it possible? It seems like it's possible. And I found faint traces of evidence that it is in fact possible. Whereas in this book, I mean, it's not only is it possible, the scale on which this transformation is occurring now, when you go to somewhere like Germany, when you look at the interior, you know, internal operations of a company like Walmart, the world's largest retailer, has made sustainability its bottom line. You know, the city of Copenhagen has influenced the city of New York. You can, you know, sit in the middle of Times Square on a chair and ponder the fact that this, you know, idea of sustainable living has, you know, spanned the globe and gone from the cobblestones of Copenhagen to the center of the, you know, the city that never sleeps and all that. So the confidence I think that this book has, which I guess is ultimately sort of more positive, is to say, you know, if you've been to the other side of that chasm, things are good there, and that transformation is really not nearly as arduous as it looks. It's really the getting all the people in your organization, in your business, in your community, in your, you know, political sphere, committed to the idea that this is the change that must happen. That's really the only hard part. Now, granted, it's a very hard part because humans are psychologically pretty complicated, but we're not looking, you know, I think where the greater sense of optimism comes, I think, is from saying, you know, it would be much harder, to put it another way, if the things that I had seen these little traces of in The Geography of Hope 4 years later were gone. But all of them are now much stronger, sturdier, bigger sort of things to point at and say, you know, this is where we should go.
Sometimes it's a very organized, methodical, you know, the German example of, you know, this is a law and this is how we're going to do it. Sometimes, though, it seems to come out of chaos. You use the example of a former Air Force base that turned into a community, but it was all done very organically.
Freiburg. There was an old French military base closed down. They bring in some consultants. The city takes control of the land, and there's a few old barracks buildings and that sort of thing. What are we going to do with it? Before they've even decided what they're going to do with it, squatters have moved in. Freiburg's got like a very big, very old university that has nowhere near enough housing for its students, and some of the students had started to show up. People had started parking trailers and caravan type things on the empty land. And they decided, okay, so it's going to be a community, that we're going to redevelop it as a mixed-use residential commercial, blah, blah, blah. One of our big things that we know as a town is that we need more housing. There hadn't been a lot of new housing development in Freiburg for a number of years. And instead of master planning it, basically they just set out guidelines. And then the people who were moving in, the not counting the squatters and the rest of them, but the people who were going to invest in you know, an apartment or a townhouse or whatever, formed these Baugruppe, building groups, which were essentially cooperatives. And so basically everyone owned a share, and they got to decide how the building would meet the goals, what it would look like, what the sort of public space around it would be used for, and that sort of thing. And out of that seeming, you know, dangerously open-ended chaos came a perfectly planned neighborhood. When you walk through Vauban today, it kind of blows your mind that, you know, like, the, you turn the corner and there's the chicken coop where you can go and buy an egg in the morning if you don't have any eggs because someone decided to put a chicken coop there. And there's an oven where you can bake bread, and the kindergarten is solar powered. And, you know, there's just, and you think, well, this must have been, you know, some singular top down vision. No, it was a singular top down set of priorities. These are the priorities. Do what you will. And out of that, you get this fantastic kind of model of suburban development.
The book is The Leap, How to Survive and Thrive in the Sustainable Economy. I've been speaking with the author, Chris Turner, and The Leap is published by Random House of Canada.